It's time for justice. Welcome to the Central Virginia Legal Aid Radio Show, heard every Wednesday from 12:30 to 1 p.m. on 97.3 FM WRIR. I'm your host, Marty Wegbright.
Ain't gonna let nobody turn me around, turn me around, turn me around. Ain't gonna let nobody.
This show is written and produced by Central Virginia Legal Aid Society. We give free, civil, non-criminal legal aid to low-income people in Richmond, Petersburg, Charlottesville, and surrounding cities and counties. Coming up on this week's show...
Never refinance unsecured debt into secured debt. And unsecured debt could be a credit card debt. Secured debt's the mortgage or something on your car or whatever. This could result, in the case of the mortgage, in the loss of your home.
Jim Nagles at the Virginia Poverty Law Center talks about Virginia's foreclosure process and possible alternatives to foreclosure. And we describe the step-by-step process for tenants to get repairs from their landlords during our weekly question and answer session. All that and more coming up. Stay with us. The show is supported in part by a grant from the Virginia Law Foundation. This show, number 26, is the sole responsibility of Central Virginia Legal Aid Society and gives only general legal information. If you have a legal problem and need specific legal advice about your situation, contact an attorney. If you can't afford an attorney, we'll tell you later in the show how to get free legal advice or representation in a civil case. The Central Virginia Legal Aid Radio Show is heard every Wednesday at 12:30 on WRIR 97.3 FM, Richmond Independent Radio, and is made possible by community radio volunteers at WRIR. And now, this week's news you can use. A new government program will provide you a free cell phone services, and 68 free minutes every month. It's called Lifeline Service, and it's offered by SafeLink Wireless. The service costs nothing. There are no contracts, no recurring fees, and no monthly charges. Any minutes you don't use will roll over. Features such as caller ID, call waiting, and voicemail are included. You qualify for Lifeline service in Virginia if you get food stamps, SSI, Medicaid, TANF, low-income home energy assistance, federal public housing assistance or Section 8, or free national school lunch. To be eligible, no one else in your household may currently receive Lifeline service, and you must have a valid U.S. postal address other than a post office box. If you need more minutes, you can buy them at any TracVone retailer. For more information, go to www.safelinkwireless.com. In other news, with home foreclosures multiplying, so are foreclosure rescue scammers. The most recent is a New Jersey outfit called New Hope Modifications. Although they offer a free consultation, that quickly turns into a sales pitch for paid services, the same type of services homeowners in distress can obtain for free from reputable HUD-certified mortgage default counselors. Working with a local certified housing counselor is the only way to make sure the advice you receive is accurate, reliable, and appropriate. In the Richmond area, these free services are offered by only five groups: Housing Opportunities Made Equal, NeighborWorks Resource Group, Southside Community Development and Housing, Commonwealth Catholic Charities, and ClearPoint Financial Services. For more information, go to www.virginiaforeclosureprevention.com. With this week's news you can use, this is your host, Marty Wegbright. You're listening to the Central Virginia Legal Aid Radio Show on WRIR 97.3 FM, Richmond Independent Radio.
This week's legal term of the week is tenant's right of redemption. Redemption is a tenant's right to prevent eviction by paying all amounts owed if there are no other reasons stated for eviction. An eviction case in court must stop if you pay all rent and arrears, all late charges and attorney's fees contracted for in a written lease, and all interest and court costs. You may pay these amounts owed to your landlord, your landlord's attorney, or the court. To prevent eviction, you must pay these amounts owed on or before your first court date. You also should go to court and appear before the judge or clerk to be sure the case is dismissed. A tenant may use the right of redemption only once every 12 months. For the Central Virginia Legal Aid Radio Show, I'm Diane Dussault, and that's this week's Legal Term of the Week.
Welcome back to the Central Virginia Legal Aid Radio Show on WRIR 97.3 FM, Richmond Independent Radio. We are here in the studio with this week's caller. Please give us your name and where you are from.
My name is Letitia, and I am from Henrico County.
Thank you very much. And what's your question for us?
I have some questions concerning my landlord. I have some issues with my apartment that the landlord is refusing to address. And I was wondering what I need to do to get it taken care of.
Tell us about the issues. What's the problem?
During the summer, my air conditioning unit went out, and they took their time coming to repair it. And when they came out, they ended up having to come back several times, and it still wasn't repaired. So finally, they put a window unit in my apartment, and they have not come back since to repair it. Since then, I have had to use my heat, which is, it all works from the same unit. So we cut the heat on, and it worked for a little while, and then that went out. And they've sent someone out to fix it, and they said that it needed to be replaced. It couldn't be repaired.
And these complaints that you've made, have they all been spoken, or have any of them been in writing?
I've called to the maintenance line, and I've also sent them something in writing.
And when did you send your written complaint?
March 2008.
Okay, that's enough for me to be able to answer the question. You're probably going to have to make another written complaint in order to have effective legal action taken. Basically, tenants have to do three things in Virginia to get repairs done. First, you have to be current in your rent and stay current. Their duty to make repairs is completely independent of your duty to pay rent. And there's no rent withholding or repair and deduct in Virginia as there is in other states. Secondly, you have to give written notice. Oral or spoken notice is good to start with, but if that does not solve the problem within really a matter of days, you have to put it in writing. Third, you have to wait a reasonable period of time. And the Virginia law doesn't say what a reasonable period of time is. It really depends on the circumstances. If it is a matter of no heat in winter or a water leak or something like that, it could be a matter of a day or two or even hours. On the other hand, if it's not quite so urgent, then 21 days or maybe even 30 days is reasonable. Now, if you do all three of those things and the problem still exists, your only remedy under Virginia law is to take your next month's rent down to the General District Court and file what's called a tenant's assertion or a rent escrow case. You bring your next month's rent and the notice you gave the landlord, and you file that case in the General District Court. I always urge people to do that in the small claims division of the General District Court, because there are no lawyers involved, so you wouldn't have one, but they won't have one either. Second, you get a much speedier trial. In small claims, your first court date is your trial date, but in the regular division, if it's a contested case, your trial could be several weeks or several months after your first court date. And then lastly, in small claims division, the technical formal rules of evidence are not strictly enforced, and the judge will let you present your case the best way you know how. But if you've got your letter and that problem hasn't been fixed, then the judge can order part or all of your rent returned, or held until the repair is made. And if you even want out of your lease because of the problem, the judge has the power to do that as well. So is this something that you may contemplate doing in the future?
Yes, it is.
Okay, well, thank you so much for being here.
All right, and thank you for having me.
Virginia still ranks 14th nationally in our foreclosure rate. The typical foreclosure in Virginia takes less than 2 months. Knowing the process and ways to prevent foreclosure are crucial for homeowners. Last month, Jim Nagels from the Virginia Poverty Law Center was at the statewide legal aid conference to talk about the foreclosure process in Virginia and possible foreclosure alternatives. The Central Virginia Legal Aid Radio Show was there and brings you this special presentation.
I'm Jim Nagels. I'm from the Virginia Poverty Law Center. What we're going to do is very simply take you through the foreclosure process in Virginia. In Virginia, we have what's called non-judicial foreclosure. You don't have to go to court to foreclose the way you do in some states. In Virginia, your lender will tell your trustee that you're not paying your loan, and then the trustee proceeds to move on the process. Part of the definition of judicial and non-judicial is that just because you haven't received court papers doesn't mean you're not in foreclosure. Interestingly enough, Virginia does have provision for judicial foreclosure, but foreclosure in Virginia is determined by what's in your deed of trust. Okay, how does it happen? You go into default. You're late on your payments. You know, you may be a month late. You may be 2 months late or whatever, but in any case, you're late. At that point, your lender has the right to do what they call acceleration. That is to tell you, look, you're late, but under the provisions of the deed of trust, we have a right to call your entire loan in right now. After you get your default notice, your trustee has to advertise in local newspapers that a sale is going to occur. He has specific requirements that he has to follow that are in the deed of trust. Okay, foreclosure sale. Your trustee basically gets on the steps of the courthouse, or usually on the steps of the courthouse, at the time that it's noted in your notice. And a lot of times what happens is that the lender will buy the home just for the amount that you owe, usually. In the foreclosure sale, you have to have a big deposit to purchase. You know, it's not cheap. At settlement, settlement's the formal process by which the ownership interest of the previous owner is extinguished. He's paid off. He no longer has any ownership in the house, the property. It's yours at that point. The person who bought the house is now the owner. And as the owner, he has the right to evict you from the unit. If the foreclosure doesn't cover the whole amount that is due, then the lender might actually come after you for the remainder of the loan. That is, get a deficiency judgment. With the high volume of foreclosures, those types of lawsuits are less common. There are a number of things that are going on that are less common as a result of the foreclosures. Basically, I think right now lenders don't really want the property. For one thing, they can't sell it. The other thing is, if you leave the property vacant, you know, anybody can come in and do what's been classically done in Cleveland, and that is take all the plumbing out. And I mean all the plumbing, electrical wire, anything that has copper, the kitchen sink, the commode, the bathtub, anything they can resell. They'll clean it out because there's nobody in there. Okay, loss mitigation at the federal level. This is one of those things I say we have now. It might, you know, it might morph into something else. We might have something completely different. But right now, if a homeowner is having problems paying their mortgage, they can contact Hope Now hotline at the number indicated for a HUD-approved housing counselor, which may or may not help. But in any case, www.hopenow.com is the website that you would go to. There's something called FHA Secure. And that's a pilot refinance program that you can use for non-FHA loans. The homeowner does not have to be behind in their loan or in their payments unless they have an ARM, which we heard about a little while ago. You have a down payment requirement of 3%. The property has to be owner-occupied, and it doesn't require FHA inspections, which struck me as a little odd, but that's the way it runs. The maximum FHA loan amount is $729,750 until December 31st of this year. As of January 1st, 2009, it'll be $625,500. By October 1st, which is gone, HUD has to identify and establish a funding allocation that's based on the number and percentage of home foreclosures, subprime mortgages, and homes in default or delinquency in different jurisdictions. Some of those funds from Housing and Economic Recovery Act are going to be used in the Hope for Homeowners program, and some are going to be allocated to the various counties in Virginia, and that's something that's being worked out. I think the State Department of Housing and Community Development is working on that. They'll probably be the central office that allocates the money. Hope for Homeowners program provides a 30-year fixed-rate mortgage insured by FHA for borrowers at a risk of default and foreclosure. That program's voluntary, unfortunately, and both the lender and the borrower have to agree to participate, and it says speak with the original lender if you want to go with that, since it has to be agreed to by both the lender and borrower.
You're listening to a presentation given last month by Jim Nagles from the Virginia Poverty Law Center about foreclosures and possible alternatives. We'll be back in a moment.
Turn me around, turn me around, no, turn me around, ain't gonna let injustice turn me around. I'm gonna keep on walking, keep on talking, marching up the freedom land.
If you're just joining us, the Central Virginia Legal Aid Radio Show now rejoins the Virginia Poverty Law Center's Jim Nagles in a presentation given last month about foreclosures and possible alternatives.
There's another thing called Project Lifeline, and that's a collaborative effort among mortgage lenders, six of them, Bank of America, Countrywide, JP Mortgage, Chase Citigroup, Washington Mutual, and Wells Fargo. Served 50% of the mortgages nationwide. But in any case, letters are mailed to borrowers who are 90 or more days delinquent, but haven't contacted a lender to discuss the workout. It may enable borrowers to pause their foreclosures, and you're going to hear a little bit, quite a bit from Christy about some of the arrangements that can be made when people go into default or before they go into default and they're in trouble. It's similar to the new Virginia law targeted at high-risk loans, which went into effect July 1st. This program is also available to homeowners whose loans are serviced by the lenders that are mentioned above, even if the mortgage isn't with them, which is kind of a nice feature. If the client's looking at a refinancing, there are some things that need to be remembered. Never refinance unsecured debt into secured debt. And unsecured debt could be a credit card debt. Secured debt's the mortgage or something on your car or whatever. This could result, in the case of the mortgage, in the loss of your home. It's much better, I guess, to welch on a credit card debt than it is on your mortgage. And an example is don't turn a car loan into a second trust. Repossession of your car is bad. Foreclosure on your home is worse. And that also greatly increases the amount of interest being paid over a long period of time if you put the loan onto your house. If your existing debt is through a high-rate finance company or lender, don't refinance with the same lender, you know, for kind of obvious reasons. There's a conflict of interest there. Don't be pressured by debt collectors into refinancing. There are better ways to address debt collection. Foreclosure rescue scams. I'm sure there are a lot of people in here who've heard a lot about this. The General Assembly passed the law effective July the 1st to deal with those scams. There are some people who say that the law isn't quite strong enough. We can trust that it isn't. There are certain things, loopholes and whatnot, that are left in it that allow lenders to get away with certain things that they shouldn't have. But that'll have to be dealt with later. One of the practices that, say, mortgage brokers have been carrying on is to charge a homeowner an upfront fee in exchange for services to save the home. Other people have been doing the same thing. You can't do that anymore. That's illegal, and there's new law. Yeah. Lastly, you have fraud. And fraud, in order to get an action for fraud in Virginia, you've got to have a misrepresentation, which can include silence or suppression of a material fact. It has to be made intentionally and knowingly with the intent to mislead, and it has to be relied upon by the victim, who was the person who's misled, and there has to be damage done. A case that's a good explanation for that is State Farm Mutual Auto Insurance versus Remley. There's an admonition to be careful to distinguish between fraud and breach of contract. Fraud means a promise was made even though the promisor had no intention of keeping the word. Breach of contract occurs when the contract's formed and the promisor breaks his word.
You've been listening to a presentation given last month by Jim Nagles from the Virginia Poverty Law Center about foreclosures and possible alternatives. This is the Central Virginia Legal Aid Radio Show.
Ain't gonna let this termination turn me around, turn me around.
We're back with the Central Virginia Legal Aid Radio Show on WRIR 97.3 FM, Richmond Independent Radio.
This week's top three tips are about fair housing. The first tip is that generally a landlord may rent or refuse to rent for any reason at all. Good reason, bad reason, or no reason, as long as it is not a prohibited reason. The second tip is that prohibited reasons are discriminations based on race, color, religion, national origin, gender, sexual harassment, family status, that is, having children under 18 or being pregnant, elderliness, that is, being 55 or older, handicap or disability. The third tip is that if you are discriminated against for one of these reasons, you have 1 year to file a written charge of discrimination with the Virginia Fair Housing Office. For the Central Virginia Legal Aid Radio Show, I'm Michelle King. And for this week, that's our top three tips.
That's all for this week's Central Virginia Legal Aid Radio Show. This show is heard every Wednesday from 12:30 to 1 p.m. The show is the sole responsibility of Central Virginia Legal Aid Society. To see if you can get free civil legal aid, call during intake hours. These are Monday through Thursday, 9 a.m. to 11:30 a.m. and 1 p.m. to 2:30 p.m. The phone number is 200-6046 for intake, 648-1012 for the main number, and 1-800-868-1012 to call toll-free. You can get free legal information at the statewide legal aid website. This is www.valegalaid.org. You also may get free pre-recorded legal information by phone during non-business hours. These are before 9 a.m., after 5 p.m., and on weekends and legal holidays. Call toll-free 1-866-534-5243. Also, if you have a question you would like answered or any comments on the show, you can email them to marty@cvlas.org. Please include your name and phone number. You also can leave that same information before 8 a.m. or after 6 p.m. by calling 200-6045. This show provides only general legal information. If you have a legal problem and need specific legal advice about your situation, contact an attorney. If you can't afford one, call Central Virginia Legal Aid Society. Do poor rental housing conditions allow you to withhold your rent, or will that get you evicted? Join us next week when Steve Dickinson at the Legal Aid Justice Center guides us through what tenants must and must not do to get bad rental housing repaired by landlords. That's Law for the Rest of Us next week on the Central Virginia Legal Aid Radio Show. I'm Marty Redgrave.